RCR with Paul Brennan.
Is there a need for an independent inquiry into the sale of Tauranga's marine precinct, as well as the council's annual plan? That includes a proposed 12% increase to rates. And then there's the future of local water assets under the nationwide waters reform. Glenn Crowther is now a Tauranga City Councillor. We started talking to Glenn in the run-up to those local body elections last year. He's been in place since July, and he's back with us to talk more about inquiries, the increase in rates and water. Glenn, thanks for coming back on RCR.
Yeah, g'day, Paul. Yeah, great to be back on.
What's the ride been like since
it's interesting. It's sort of funny in a way because I figured that I think I spoke to you first about some of these Tauranga issues probably about 8 months before the election last July.
That's right.
And it's now about 8 months since the election. And in a way, I've still got the same concerns. And I suppose there hasn't been too big a surprise, but I do feel somewhat powerless inside there in the same way that I did outside the council, which is kind of ironic. But I think, you know, we're making some progress, but I think there are things that I would like to see happen that probably haven't got the support of all my colleagues, and that's really the way it works with a democratic council.
Let's start with your call for an independent inquiry. It's more than just that sale I mentioned. It's bigger than that, right?
Yeah, I mean, for me, there are a number of things that we've uncovered. Well, some that I knew about, to be honest, before the election, but some that we've uncovered since. And it all comes back to two things for me. One is, did the Tauranga City Council commissioners who ran the city between 2021 and 2024, did they build trust from the community in the council? And there is absolute evidence there, which is the council's own surveys that they do every year. They do them in a few different tranches, and right through to the latest ones since we've been in power, the trust in the community is not there. It's in the well into the minuses. It peaked at minus 38% net favourability rating under the commissioners. Now, that did not build trust, it just lost more trust. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that there have been a number of transactions, and I know you've covered some of the property-related transactions where the commissioners sold assets and in some cases even bought assets and did so in a way that, in my view, was very detrimental to the city and cost ratepayers a lot of money. So, you know, not only did they lose trust, but they actually spent up large with ratepayers' money. And, you know, in the case of one major project, in my view, didn't tell the truth about the implications of that.
What about your colleagues? You got support?
It's interesting. I can really see why some of my colleagues who weren't active in this area during the commissioner's term, you know, they were potentially following a bit of the politics, but weren't close to it. You know, Mahe, the mayor, lived in another city, and others were not actively involved. They look at it now and say, right, we've taken over anything that happened since last July, August, that's our business. Anything before that is not. I think personally that's too simplistic because we are governing a city that has existed since the 1880s. We are the people in charge of anything that happened before now and in the future. And so we have to take responsibility, be accountable and be transparent because a lot of these things were hidden from the public. And I think what I'm calling for is to shine a light on it, make it transparent. In some cases, my colleagues are right, we can't do anything about it. But in others, we have had active choices and we've chosen not to do something about it.
Why do you think there's a reluctance to go there?
Yeah, I honestly don't know, Paul. I know people have all sorts of theories about it. I hear lots of it from the community. I guess I personally think that it's probably as much as anything, it's just they're hoping they can just kind of, you know, let things be and get on with what they want to do, which is, you know, promote the projects that they wanted to get over the line to govern the city the way they want to. But I guess my view is that that's a little bit too simplistic because we are getting dogged by these decisions. We've spent hours and hours and hours. And to be honest, some of them have complained quite bitterly about how much time I've taken asking questions. But I think the reason I've had to do that is there's no inquiry. And I pushed for this last August, and I think it would be a cleaner way to do it. And you get an independent entity like the Office of the Auditor General. We've had two local MPs who have been pushing for that. But because of the court case of the Marine Precinct, then that's all been put on hold. So there is still a chance of an inquiry, but I would personally like to front foot it and say, let's do it, let's call for it from the council to the government or to an independent entity that can investigate.
Surely, though, if there's been a pattern of decisions that don't make sense, deals that don't make sense, and all the time it's costing ratepayers more and more, and I believe costs, expenditure still going up, then don't you have a duty to unpick all that? And like you say, the city's been around since the late 1800s. It's not as if the whole thing just landed last July.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way I see it. And I suppose I'll give you one example of something which hasn't even hit the headlines. Now, last year, we signed off on a $104 million library, which seems an excessive amount for a library. And then we completed the Civic Centre development that it's part of by signing off on the Civic Whare Exhibition Centre Museum Complex, which is about another $150 mil. Now, all up, that project costs $306 million. Now, that all was public, like it went out and said that we'd signed off on it. What the commissioners had said was it was not going to cost ratepayers any more than half the original price, which was $151.5 million. It's in writing. It's what they stated repeatedly at public meetings. So $151.5, you could love it, you could hate it, whatever, but at least it was clear what it was going to cost the ratepayers. Well, as of last week or the week before, I've forgotten exactly when, I think 2 weeks ago, we found out that the current cost to ratepayers is sitting at $285 million. That's another $130 mil more than what the commissioner said. Now, we could get a bit of extra external funding, but what we've been told is, oh, the fundraising didn't go so well, we've run into some problems, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of those were predictable. There was no way in the world that it was ever going to be 150 mil. I said that at the time, and yet the Commissioner Tolley in charge sort of was emphatic it would be. So now we've got this problem because we're 130 odd million short, and no one wants to even talk about it, let alone do something about it. So that's why we need an inquiry for those kind of issues that really, I mean, that's a huge amount of money for a city the size of Tauranga.
Isn't cost benefit where it all happens, though? Okay, you could argue that spending even a lot of money on something, if it's going to deliver the value, and okay, I get it, that would have to be over a period of time when you're thinking about a city,
yep.
And how to keep the city kind of relevant. But how do you recover nearly $300 million worth of expenditure value-wise from a library? And
yeah, well,
something
it
else. How does that work?
Well, I mean, you don't in financial terms, I guess. You're
so why would you saddle people with the money?
Well, I'll give you, there's two angles on this. One of them is to say, and people have actually said it, it's only a few hundred dollars per ratepayer. Well, it's actually about $500 a year of that when you translate that, that's the capital cost. If you put it into annual expenses that are funded by rates, it's going to be over the 30 mil a year. So it works out about $500 per ratepayer now, a bit less for most residential ratepayers, but that's a huge amount. So the answer is, well, this is helps to give us sort of certain social benefits and all that sort of stuff.
Who goes to the library anymore?
Well, people do, but
yeah,
I don't.
But not in numbers, in thousands.
Well, let's just say I was advocating for the equivalent of one of our suburban libraries, and I said we could put two of them together and we'd probably build it for 10 to 20 million. that was completely feasible, instead of 100 million. Now, that's where I would have liked it. I would like a library, but I would not like a $100 million library. The other thing is that in terms of what the commissioners and the council staff at the time were saying, was that we will get bang for buck by bringing tourists here, and that Tauranga needs to be raised
it's
to...
It's like the super yachts, right? All queuing up at the entrance to the harbour by the mouth.
Tauranga needs to become a metro city, and it needs to be alongside Auckland and Wellington. And interestingly, our Te Manawataki, or Te Papa, it's named after Te Papa, which is the central part of Tauranga. Well, Te Papa down in Wellington, the National Museum there, that it actually is like our local museum is projected to get more visitors than Te Papa in Wellington, and nearly as many foreign visitors.
Sorry, what?
The business case just does not stack up, and the staff know it. Most of the staff know it because I've had conversations before I was a councillor, so I'm not giving anything secret away, where they were just sort of acknowledging that it was a bit of a ridiculous business case, but somehow because of the commissioners it went through, and that's why we need.
But weren't they even more of a stringent gatekeeper, or supposed to have been, than the elected representatives were? That you know that you could that they were there to you know stop the madness.
Supposed to is one thing, but since we've come on as councillors, probably the one thing that I've heard more than anything is that the organisation has had to be foot to the floor, and we didn't, you know, the management are saying we just didn't have time to, you know, cross all the T's and dot all the I's because the commissioners were pushing them so hard to deliver projects. They basically were, in some cases, just saying, don't worry about the cost, just get on and do it. And part of that was they knew an elected council was coming and they wanted to sign off on projects before we could come and stop them.
Conscious of time, the proposed 12% increase to rates.
Yeah.
You want that looked into? Is that part of an independent
inquiry? Oh, well, that's a bit of a different thing because that's all on us, so we can't blame the commissioners for that. They said 12.5%, and they had a series of big rates increases. The argument goes two ways. One, what I do want the investigation to look at is why the commissioners could actually build in. What they did is they built in an extra $7 million dollars worth of cuts to employee costs, actually, which was built into their budget that we didn't know about until just a few weeks ago. And basically what they wanted to do was to pretend that their budgets were realistic. But because the expenses were looking a bit high, they sort of put in fake numbers that sort of cut the employee costs by, I think it was $6.7 million per year. And we only found out recently, and we were like, you can't do that. You've got to balance the budget. And we'd already found that the commissioners ran a deficit while they were here. So that's also not allowed. Like within local government, you're meant to balance the budget. So you pay rates to cover the costs of what you run the council on. And then if you build big projects, you borrow money and every year you pay back the debt and hopefully one day you pay back you pay back the interest each year and hopefully you pay back the debt at the end. Now, we all know the debt just keeps going up. It's currently about $1.4 billion. When the commissioners arrived, it was well under half that. So, you know, we're talking, you know, some huge issues here, and some of those are on the commissioners, but the 1.2% rates increase has been, I would say, despite some good efforts by us to balance the budget, we have gone ahead with some expensive projects that we could have stopped, and that has meant that we're locked into a double-figure rates increase, and that's not appropriate, as you'd realise at this time.
And the mayor is comfortable with that, and he's a financial person. He's worked in that area. He knows all about cost-benefit and all of that, surely.
Yes, he does. He's comfortable with it. We signed off on a 12.5% rates increase last week in the last couple of days, we've actually had some good news, which is that they've found a few bucks down the sofa, or so to speak. So it's actually 12% now. So that's good. But
inflation's running at 2.
That's my argument, is that we're a little bit higher than we should be, about 6% higher. So I feel in Tauranga's case, it had to be significantly more than inflation. And I know that's not good, but I think we had some extenuating circumstances after 3 years of commissioners. But I think to actually have to foist a double figures rates increase is not good. And I'd pushed really hard for a single digit, but ended up last week sort of losing that battle a bit. But I should be clear that there is still hope. We've got a working group that was set up. So that's been in response to my push. And that is going to have one last ditch effort during the consultation on the annual plan to see if we can find some extra savings. But it needs to be quite a few million dollars worth of savings to bring that rates increase down.
Is it true that Tauranga is one of the most indebted councils in Australasia?
Yes, that's my understanding. That we, I believe, we're kind of vying with Hamilton quite bad there.
And out of all the local bodies in Australia. and we're number 2 as well. Crikey.
Well, I'm not sure if there are any Australian above, but I know we're right up there. And Standard and Poor's have made that clear that Tauranga is one of the highest in Australasia. Yeah.
And to water reform, local water done well. Well, first of all, who came up with that?
I think that was the National Party.
Because it's so lame.
I think we've had that discussion before, Paul, but yeah, well, I couldn't possibly comment.
Well, I'm just saying, it's so easy to put it's like back on track.
Yeah. Right.
So at the moment, Tauranga ratepayers own their water infrastructure, correct?
Yes, we do. We have, and when we're talking water, it's water, wastewater, and stormwater, which includes, interestingly, playing fields sometimes when there's flooding after a storm, and reserves and all sorts of things. So it's not just pipes; it's actually more than that.
Okay. So what else is being talked about? What's the CCO?
Right, CCO is council-controlled organisation. Which
is that like Wellington Water? Because I'm familiar with that.
It is. So basically,
just look at their situation right now.
Well, there are different models. So Auckland has its one with WaterCare. It's basically what Mayor Brown has been talking about with CCOs since he got into power in Auckland is that the council finds it very hard with something like Auckland Transport or some of the other CCOs to actually directly influence what's happening. Mayor Brown argues quite strongly that he would like more control so that the people's representatives have a direct say. So the idea here is that the National Party and ultimately the coalition government decided to reject Labor's water reforms, the Three Waters reforms, and they replaced it with this local water done well. And in my view, it is a step ahead because we don't have forced requirement to go into these water entities, these big water entities. So what it is supposedly is a democratic decision of the local people who actually won't have a referendum but will have a public consultation process, which in our case starts on the 28th of March, and people will have a month to put in their views. The problem I have with it is twofold. One is that although in theory it's a choice for us on behalf of our local people, what seems to be happening is there's a number of people, mayors and other sort of influencers, if you like, are saying that central government really wants us to put our waters into CCOs, regional CCOs if possible, if not just local ones. And that doesn't seem like a level playing field because my thinking is we should weigh it up on its merits and do what the public wants. The second thing is that we, in order to make this decision, we need clear financial information. We need good analysis, and it needs to be independent. And what we've got is DIA, the Department of Internal Affairs, who did the Labor Three Waters reforms, where their numbers were flawed. They are pushing numbers out. We've got consultants who are pushing numbers out. But when you ask questions, it's really hard to get straight answers. And here we go into a consultation in a week or so, and I don't even know what the numbers truly indicate, because I've asked key questions, can't get the answers, and yet we're supposed to make up our mind in a couple of months over what we want on behalf of the people, and the people won't have that information. Like, we'll be going out with the consultation, and the argument is, well, the public aren't, you know, they can't be expected to follow all this financial detail. But I think it's very disparaging, because the public need to see that. They need to see the detail in order to make an informed opinion on it.
Isn't that attitude really the big problem? That the average person on the street's just dragging their knuckles so low that they're not capable of digesting any information at all. And what does that tell you about the attitude to ratepayers?
I think that's probably my personal biggest gripe since being on council, is because I know people personally out there who I would say would have a better handle on it than me, better handle on it than our my fellow councillors and staff in some cases. You know, like, that these people are very smart. They've investigated this thoroughly. The only thing they're missing is the information that we here at the, well, maybe not even me, but some of our staff have managed to pull together. And I think if everybody had the same information, you would find that some of those members of the public would be very well informed. Others, of course, would just, their eyes would glaze over, of course, because they're leading busy lives. You can't expect everybody to be on top of this. But for the ones who are interested, they can help to put this into, a nice simple summary. And then you actually find out, what are the issues that people most value? Do they want direct elected control, or do they want the promise of potentially some savings, some cost savings in the future by putting it into a CCO, this council-controlled entity?
Who's not coming across with the information that you talked about? Is it a refusal to give it, or
well,
or how does it work?
It's more subtle. And so I'm not pointing fingers at any one person, but what I've noticed is that I requested this when I came on council in July last year. The first thing I said when I sat down with the chief executive was, I'd like to see the information, the financial analysis around waters. That's the very, very first issue I raised. I've consistently raised it with our team. We've had a briefing eventually after I repeatedly asked for it last October. And we had another one, we had a public meeting around it in December, and by majority people chose to push a joint CCO with another council. And then we've been waiting since Christmas to sort of have more info, and it started coming to us in February. But we always ended up getting not as much as I thought. So it's not like we've had nothing, but we haven't had, for me, the crucial information that shows why we should go one way or the other. And I honestly don't know whether it's just that people haven't done the work in a timely way, whether there's genuine problems getting this analysis, or whether, you know, the third option is that there is an agenda, there isn't a, you know, central government wants these CCOs, or, you know, water assets to go into CCOs. And of course, the I suppose you'd say the worry that people have is that once they're out of direct councillor control, then, you know, those board members who you're paying extra money to, all these layers of extra management, that they will actually make decisions that we would not have made as elected councillors.
Glenn Crowther, Tauranga City Councillor. Great to catch up with you again, Glenn. Thanks for coming back on RCR. Let's see how things go.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Anytime.